Hello and welcome to episode number 6 of D History. Glad you could join us this week. Hopefully you're enjoying our show so far. Remember, if you have any feedback on our show, you can email us at disney.history@yahoo.com. It's been great to have a little bit of recognition recently about our show, and we'll get into that later on. But I guess we'll start off our show with our answers to last week's trivia, which was on the Gummy Bears, the television show, which was quite successful in the 1990s. Our first question was, Princess Kala, or Carla, was named after which NBC president? And the answer to that question was Brandon Tartikoff. So the answer for that one was Brandon Tartikoff. Our second question from last week was, who sings the Dutch version of the title song? And the answer for that question was Robert Long. So well done to anyone who knew the answers to that one. And the third and final question was, what was the show called in Turkish? The show was actually called Brave Bears, which translated in Turkish is Sesu Aylar. I think, I'm sorry to any Turkish listeners, but it translates into Brave Bears. So it wasn't actually called Gummy Bears, but Brave Bears instead. This week, we're going to go to yet another Disney television show as our feature. This time, it's not one that's shown on free-to-air shows. It's on cable channels around the world, basically on the Disney Channel, and it's The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. It's an American children's television series, and it airs on the Disney Channel. It's a Disney Channel original series, and it premiered in March 2005. It was also one of the first shows to be available on the iTunes store selling television episodes, which at the moment is only available in the USA. I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure about the UK, but definitely you can't download television shows off iTunes in Australia just yet. Hopefully one day though. The series stars Dylan and Cole Sprouse. They play the characters of Cody and Zach, and they're identical twins. The show's quite popular, and it's had two video games being released based on the show. One was for their Nintendo DS called The Suite Life of Zack and Cody: Tipton Trouble. And there was also the same game released for Game Boy Advance. The show was originally called The Suite Life, and it was changed to The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. I'm not too sure why. If anyone knows, please email us in at disney.history@yahoo.com. Couldn't find out why, but it's only the third Disney Channel original television series to have gone over 65 episodes. The first was That's So Raven, which went over 100 episodes, and the second was Kim Possible. So more on one of the Tipton Trouble video game. It sells for about $20 US, and you can find it on most internet sites or video game stores. For people in America, it's rated E, meaning everyone, there's no strict guidelines. There's only some mild animated violence, but it was released in September 2006, and you can grab it for about $20 off the internet if you want to grab that game, particularly people in Australia and other places where it's a bit hard to find the game. You can try and grab that off the internet because Game Boy Advance and Nintendo DS don't have region-specific games, so you can grab that off the net for about $20 American. So back to Zack and Cody. It's set in the hotel where Zack and Cody, the twins, live with their family, and it's where a lot of the main characters in the series works. Now a bit of trivia. In the first season, Zack had a huge crush on Maddie, but this has not been mentioned in later seasons. A similar situation occurred in another Disney Channel series, That's So Raven, when Corey had a crush on Chelsea in the first season, but that wasn't mentioned yet again. The Martin suit is suite, sorry, is complete with a kitchen and a bedroom, but so far no other suites with a kitchen have been shown, apart from London's, whose ridiculously large closet has been mentioned. Almost all members of the primary cast of High School Musical have appeared on the show, except for Corbin Bleu and Lucas Grabeel. So that's interesting to note if you're a High School Musical fan. The theme song for the show is called Here I Am and was written by John Adair and Steve Hampton, who also wrote the theme song for Phil of the Future, which is another Disney Channel television show. It was sung by Lauren Ellis and the Drew Davis Band. The original theme song was going to be Grow Up by Simple Plan. However, it was changed at the last minute to Here I Am. The Suite Life Goes to Hollywood was an hour-long episode of The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. Usually the episodes go for about 22 minutes, but this hour-long episode was a special, and it's where Zack and Cody get discovered by talent scouts. And the staff at the hotel where they live go to Hollywood to watch a pilot of Zack and Cody's lives being filmed. Bit more on Suite Life of Zack and Cody. They've been nominated for a few awards. They were nominated for BMI Film and TV Awards for the BMI Cable Award in 2005, and they won that award. They were nominated in 2006 for an Emmy for Outstanding Choreography for the episode Commercial Breaks. They were unfortunate and didn't win that one. And they were also nominated for Young Artist Awards for Best Performance in a TV Series, Comedy or Drama, Leading Young Actor for both Cole and Dylan Sprouse, but neither of them won that one either for the Young Artist Award, which is a bit disappointing, but I'm sure they'll be fine. A bit more on the Suite Life of Zack and Cody. Sorry about my speech today, it's a bit blurred, but it's getting late at night and struggling. Some more trivia is Ashley Teasdale, who's a main character. She tried out for both the roles of London and Maddie. Each episode is taken in 2 days, so the shoot takes 2 days for a 22-minute episode, which is quite interesting. Although the hotel where the show is set is supposed to be in Boston, Massachusetts, the hotel exteriors shown in the series are actually in the Fairmont Hotel in Vancouver, British Columbia. The twins said in an interview that their names on the show were actually named Dylan and Cole as the characters were based around them, but as the story progressed, they changed their names as the twins and the characters' personalities differed. The executive producer pulled Rebecca and Camilla Russo from the audience to play the twins' girlfriends. And Maddie's full name, according to her, is Madeline Margaret Genevieve Miranda Catherine Fitzpatrick. So that'll wrap it up for our feature this week on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. I won't do any trivia on that one this week because we'll have a bit of a break from the trivia, and hopefully next week we'll get back into the trivia and get some answers in. Next up, we'll get into some Disney news for the Walt Disney Company and all things Disney. Our first story this week is that Disney stores are recalling about 200 units of Baby Einstein Caterpillar sleepwear and Baby Einstein Duck sleepwear. The sleepwear fails to meet the children's flammability standard, posing a risk of burn injury to children. The recall involves footed pajamas made of 100% cotton. Only sleepwear in sizes 12 months and 18 months is included in the recall. Sleepwear sold in sizes 3, 6, and 9 months is not included. So these items were sold at Disney stores across America from April 2006 till May 2006 for about $20. So they recommend that you stop using the sleepwear immediately and return it to the Disney store for a full refund. And you can find out additional information by contacting Disney stores on toll-free number at 866-902-2798. That's 866-902-2798 between 8:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. So hopefully none of you Disney fans out there have any of those pajamas for your children. Our next story is about the Pirates of the Caribbean premiere. As many of you know, the premiere is for this third Pirates installment is going to be at the Disneyland theme park in California. And tickets are actually going on sale to the public for $1,500 American. The money raised from this process will be donated to the Make-A-Wish Foundation across America and worldwide, and they're hoping to raise $3 million for the foundation, with Disney, who are going to chip in an additional $1 million. So this is the first time that the public has been invited to participate in a Pirates premiere. So if you want to get along, if you're in the Anaheim area around the time, check out www.piratespremiere.com and you'll be able to grab a ticket there for $1,500. I think it includes popcorn and drinks for the show. You're allowed to go on rides in Disneyland, in the Frontierland and New Orleans Square, and I think there's an after party as well, but I'm not too sure. You can check that out though at piratespremiere.com. Our next article has been covered by many of the Disney podcasts out there, so if you've already heard this, I'm sorry, but I haven't covered it properly in my show. It's that Disney are allowing gay couples to have a wedding program or take part of the fairy tale wedding program on the Disney Cruise Line and at the two Disney resorts. Disney previously allowed gay couples to organize their own weddings or commitment ceremonies at rented meeting rooms at the resorts, but had barred them from purchasing its fairy tale wedding package and holding the event at locations such as Disneyland and Walt Disney World. But Disneyland have joined the, I guess, path to equality among everyone, and as Walt was one of those people who agreed in equality, I guess it's fitting that they allow these commitment ceremonies to occur in their parks. So it's good news for the gay community out there. If there's anyone out there who's planning on having a gay commitment ceremony at any of the parks or on the Disney cruise lines, make sure you drop us a line at disney.history@yahoo.com. We'd be happy to read out your experience or your plans. And that would be really, really good. Disney has come under fire previously from religious conservatives, including the Southern Baptist Convention, who have accused the company of promoting a gay agenda. They've come to this assumption as Disneyland has the Gay Days, where they allow same-sex days to occur, and they've also picked on the company for having policies which employ a lot of gay people, and also for having a primetime television show on the ABC network featuring Ellen DeGeneres, who is openly gay, and going out with the Australian Portia de Rossi. So that's good news for the gay community again. Our next story we'll look at is that Disney offers gowns for princess brides. The Disney company are looking to grab a bigger piece of the wedding cake and feed its princess business with a new line of character-inspired bridal gowns aimed at women who want to look like and feel like Cinderella. I guess that's good for women who want to look like Cinderella, but I couldn't really imagine myself getting married to a woman in a blue dress. I'm a bit conventional and I prefer the white, but it'll be good for the Disney company to make a few extra dollars, I guess. But I think packages start at about $75,000, which is quite expensive. But I mean, the Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse formal attire start at $4,000, which is quite expensive for a dress. But if you've got the money, I guess you might as well make your special day even more special. So good on people who want to try out those outfits. Our next article is about a Disney Channel star. This is pretty brand new news. Many of you will know Orlando Brown from That's So Raven. He was recently arrested in Houston and charged with possession of marijuana. They say that he was pulled over, he was driving along, and then pulled over by the police for not having his headlights on, and they found 9 grams of marijuana on him. So he wasn't pulled over for suspicion of drugs, but pulled over for not having his headlights on. So not good for Brown. They're saying that his career on the Disney Channel will pretty much be over now that he's been found with drugs. He was in the Max Keeble Big Movie, another Disney movie, and he's been in That's So Raven for years now. So he's going to struggle to find a job anywhere else for the Disney Channel. But we wish him the best of luck in his future endeavors, even if it won't be Disney related. Over the last weekend, Disturbia hit number one at the box office. Although it's not a Disney movie, it does feature the Shia LaBeouf, who was in the Disney movie Holes and was also on the Disney Channel in one of the Disney Channel shows. So congratulations for making a number one box office release. It made $23 million over the weekend in the US. So congratulations. Some more news about the Disney company. ABC channel in the US, owned by Disney, has its latest series of Dancing with the Stars showing at the moment. And on Monday night's show, Heather Mills, Paul McCartney's estranged wife, lost her balance and collapsed while performing the samba on the show. Luckily, the fall happened at the end of her routine, and the judges didn't really hold it against her as they still gave her a 21 out of 30. The judges sort of didn't pick on her or anything, but just said that she's sort of an inspiration and told her how amazing it is that she's dancing, even though she only has the one leg. Except there's many that think that Paul McCartney would find it quite funny. I mean, it's not nice, but some of the media releases I've read have made a bit of a joke out of it, but good on her for getting up there and dancing. Some more Disney news we'll get into is that Disney on Ice has been announced for the Asia Pacific area. You can check it out at disneyonice.com.au, but it will be touring around Australia during the June-July school holidays. And this year's show is going to be the Finding Nemo musical adventure. So I'm hoping to get down to see that show this year. And if there's anyone else out there who'd like to get along and see the show, you can check out details at disneyonice.com.au. They've got all the merchandise that you'll be able to buy at the shows on the website. And ticket information is available at ticketek.com. That's TICKETEK.com. So ticketek.com, all the ticket details. They've got VIP tickets for about $50, and the cheaper tickets up the back are about 25, I think. So that'll be some good holiday fun for the kids. Also this week, they've announced some great Disneyland packages for Australia. For about $2,000, you can get return flights from the East Coast to California, with transfers from LAX Airport to Anaheim, 4 nights accommodation at the Disneyland Resort, a meet and greet breakfast with the characters, and a 3-day park hopper for both DCA and the Disneyland theme park, all for about $2,000. So it's great value if you want to head over to Disneyland. To take advantage of this offer, I think you need to book before June this year. So if you wanted to have a look, it's at flightcentre.com.au and you'll be able to find out about that detail in that package. Some more Disney news is that Meet the Robinsons has been doing fairly well at the box office, not as well as some Disney movies, but it has passed Treasure Planet, which isn't that hard a feat, but well done. But the good thing is that seeing Meet the Robinsons was released in 3D, that it's going to kick off 3D, more 3D movies from a lot of companies. So if you're a fan of the 3D movies, then you need to owe that to the Meet the Robinsons, as there's going to be a few more 3D movies released over the next few years. Some more Disney movie news is that Walt Disney Pictures are going to make a movie about the popular video game Prince of Persia. The Pirates of the Caribbean producer Jerry Bruckheimer is in charge of making the film, and the movie is scheduled for a summer 2008 release. The Prince of Persia is set in medieval Persia, and Earth's mightiest and most mysterious kingdom, where a king and his son defeat the powerful Maharaja and kidnap his daughter, looting his palace of priceless treasures, including an extravagant hourglass and a mysterious dagger. What the prince does not realize is that these two objects can turn their possessor into an immortal god and give him control over time itself. So you can guess where that sort of story would go. Sounds like quite a good fantasy movie, and I'm quite looking forward to that movie. It should be good. So that's 2008, that one should be coming out. There have been rumors this week that there will be a Harry Potter theme park coming to Universal Studios in Orlando. And what people are worrying about is that if Disney hear about this, they might try and outdo Universal, like claims have been made they've done before with the MGM Studios, where there was rumors that Universal were going to build a theme park in the area, and that's why Disney came up with the MGM Studios quickly and produced it before Universal Studios were able to create the whole Universal Studios theme park. They blame this to the Reedy Creek Improvement District, which allows Disney to build what it wants and develop the land as they see fit without having to go through time-consuming and costly government oversight and plan reviews, which other companies like Universal Studios have to go through. So we'll have to keep an eye on that over the next few months to see whether Disney want to increase their stake in the theme park business in Florida and actually do something to try and counteract a Harry Potter theme park. In other news, Disney's Tarzan the Musical will be opening in Holland near Amsterdam on April 15th. The cast is in Dutch, so spoken in Dutch, and should be good to see that show if you're over in Holland in April. So it's opened the past couple of days, so head on down if you're over in Holland to see that show. And there's also been a lot of rumors this week about whether Disney's going to decide to build a second theme park in China. Not last year, 2 years ago, they opened the Hong Kong Disney theme park, and the Disney company said last year that it was in talks with Shanghai authorities about building a theme park in their city. But there's been a lot of rumors about what city they're going to choose in China to open up a second park. As much as I like the idea of more theme parks being opened, I don't think China needs two theme parks on its mainland. I mean, we've got two on the Americas, at least they're on separate sides of the continent. We've got one in Europe, we've got the one in Japan, and then we've got the one in Hong Kong, and they're both quite close to each other. So I think a better option would be to open a park in, say, Australia. Now, I know I live in Australia, so it's pretty biased for me to say, let's open a park in Australia, but we've got the land, we've got the industry which would be able to build a great theme park. At the moment, we've only got a small theme park precedent in Queensland on the Gold Coast. We've got the Warner Brothers theme park up there, and while they're great fun in the summer, they're not anything like the theme parks they have in America. The size of Universal Studios would pretty much cover the size of four theme parks, the four biggest theme parks in Australia. So, I mean, it would be awesome if they could open up a theme park, a Disney theme park in Australia. It would give more motives to people to come to Australia, and it would definitely sort of widen the spread of theme parks around the world. If you've got any other thoughts on where you think the next Disney theme park should be opened, do drop us a line at disney.history@yahoo.com. It'd be great to hear what you've got to think about the theme park situation. I mean, it's going to be tough to get one in Australia, but I think we're more deserving than having two in China. And particular, seeing that the Hong Kong theme park has been seen to be too small and not, I don't know, not having enough attractions. Moving on, I'd like to make mention of the Mouse Planet podcast, which you can subscribe to at mouseplanet.com. I sent them an email of feedback last nearly 2 weeks ago now, and I was just congratulating them on the good job they do on their show. And there was a little bit of interest, seeing as I said I started up my own Disney podcast. And the week later on their show, Mike, who's the owner and webmaster of DisneyPodcastDirectory.net, was asking about my show and wanting me to submit it to the Disney Podcast Directory. So I'd like to thank Mike and Mark on the Mouse Planet podcast for giving a yell out to me. And I'd also like to thank Mike, who's shown a bit of interest in the show, and I'm sure he's listening to this one. And I'd like to congratulate all the Disney podcast people out there. It's a tough job to do a podcast, but hopefully you all enjoy listening to our shows. And if you do have any feedback for us, remember you can email us at disney.history@yahoo.com. So thanks for sticking around this week. Hopefully it's been an informative show for you. We will be back next week with more great Disney news and Disney features. So until then, make sure that you keep living the magic, and I'll speak to you soon.